This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. As the first round of the Iranian nuclear negotiations may be coming to a close, we think it's very important to send a message. No deal without Pastor Saeed's freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
There seems to be a lot more pessimism about a deal getting done.
There certainly is. This has been 18 months of negotiating, only days to go, as you point out, and there are some stumbling blocks. The biggest sticking point, we are told, is that Iran is refusing to give up its research and development on nuclear equipment that can be used for peaceful purposes but could also be used to create nuclear weapons.
U.S. negotiators and their partners in the P5+1 talks, most notably Russia, have long proposed that if Iran is so determined to preserve its massive uranium enrichment operation as a point of national pride, the centrifuges can stay and keep spinning. But the enriched uranium they produce has to be moved offshore, most likely to Russia. Can't be used inside of Iran, aka no indigenous use.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
To me, we have some major problems that we are dealing with, and here we are talking to Iran about a nuclear deal with this almost complete breakdown of order in the Middle East. One of the things that we have to keep in mind on Iran is also a country with ballistic missiles, cyber capabilities. They are also still a state sponsor of terrorism. I mean, give me a break.
ISIS has expanded since the beginning of the strikes. Not like some American wants to sugarcoat the situation as to say that it's getting better.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. The nuclear talks, we'll be talking about that on the show today, breaking down for you where those are. There's a key deadline really tomorrow, and the question will be, is there a deal announced, a framework? Now, what we've been told is that this could be a couple of pages, not a memorandum of understanding, not anything signed by the parties. Remember, this is getting towards the July deadline. This was the first. There's kind of a two-part working schedule to these Iranian nuclear talks. The first part is coming up with a framework, and we're being told this framework could be extremely simple, so a couple of pages. That's not going to tell us a lot. And then if there is that framework agreed upon, moving towards a full, you know, more a flushed out deal, if you will, in July. We're going to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. Something we're very concerned about, though, is Pastor Saeed's situation in light of these deals continuing to progress. If they do progress by the, let's say that this deal is met by the end of the month or tomorrow, that, okay, that's another time frame, a deadline that was set and would be passed without Saeed's freedom and the freedom of other Americans who are in prison. So we are asking you to activate today and tomorrow, if you will, to really take a stand with Pastor Saeed and let President Obama know, because it is ultimately the executive branch team that is carrying out these negotiations at the highest level. People like Secretary of State John Kerry, who have called on Saeed for Iran to release Saeed, that as they are sitting there, this is important. Not that Saeed should be part of a nuclear deal, but that he needs to be home before this deal is finalized. And this is a key timeline. So, folks, we want you to add your name to this petition. Don't leave Pastor Saeed behind. Call and add your name now. Here's the toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. and sign the petition online, letting President Obama know you care about Pastor Saeed and that this nuclear talks, the deadline should not pass without Saeed being returned back to his wife and family. A husband gone, a father gone, and of course, as we get towards this Holy Week and Easter on Sunday, it's such an important time, folks. Call now, 877-989-2255. To talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're learning more about the potential framework in the Iranian nuclear deal that may be announced, and we'll get into that on the show today and have that discussion with you. I do think that at the end of the time period, which is tomorrow, if there is some kind of deal announced, I'm not sure that we'll get the specifics of it. Some may be leaked to the media, different media sources. And that even if we do, some in the administration that are talking to the media are tampering down to basically it will be a couple of pages of kind of a framework to move forward. Not a memorandum of understanding, not anything signed by Iran or signed by the United States and the P5 plus one. So somewhat generic, though it will certainly give a lot of insight into how much has been accomplished by these negotiations towards a deal. And I know many of us have really serious questions about that. But on the other hand, one of the issues that we're most concerned about is Pastor Saeed and the Americans imprisoned in Iran. That this would be another timeline, another key moment, another date, another deadline, and it passes, you know, this is 24 hours from now, because there are negotiations in Europe. So by the time we're on the broadcast tomorrow, these negotiations may be wrapping up and this round. And then we're looking towards July again. And this was a time frame, a deadline, and Saeed is not yet home. Now, we hope and pray that that is in the works. But the truth is, we've gone past deadline after deadline, and we have to make sure Saeed's case is at the forefront in his situation, because Iran is at the forefront. I mean, we're talking so much about Iran in the media over the next 48 hours. It is so important, folks, that we hear from you. Tell the Obama administration, don't leave Pastor Saeed behind. Over 270,000 people have signed this petition, but I know there's many of you out there who have not yet. You can sign the petition online at aclj.org or by calling our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And let me ask you who are listening, what do you think about the idea that we could have this framework deal, a framework done by tomorrow, and if Saeed was not home, and if Saeed is not yet free? What do you think about this? What do you think about the talks between the P5 plus one and Iran and the United States and Iran? And, you know, we just got back from Europe at our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, and there's a lot of talk there about how it's really European allies like France who are seriously questioning this proposed framework that is being discussed. Now we're hearing about, would the Iranians ship their enriched uranium out of Iran to Russia? And now there's a question of if that would even be agreeable or not. And I tweeted that out. The Iranians now are kind of balking on that issue. And so you never know. There may not even be a deal that gets done. And that also raises an issue for Saeed, because if there's not a deal that gets done, and you've had all this opportunity sitting across the table from Iran, providing some sanctions relief, and then no deal gets done, and maybe those communications begin to collapse. So this is the other hand, and maybe many of you out there think that that would be better for the United States. But if that collapses, that diplomatic, again, dialogue that has been going on directly, which has been unheard of since 1979 in the Islamic Revolution in Iran, what happens with Saeed, and where do we go from there? And the U.S. has got to take the lead on this issue, and so it's so important that we put this pressure on. You can call now, 877-989-2255. We also have a matching challenge as we get towards the end of the month. If you are thinking about making a donation to the American Center for Law and Justice, this is a great time to do so at aclj.org or by calling our toll-free number now. That's 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. If you're part of the matching challenge, if you're thinking about donating or you have donated to the ACLJ before in the past, this is a great time to do it, because the impact of your donation is doubled. Online at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255. Stan, we're getting kind of conflicting reports, which is not surprising, as there's not a ton of information released officially about what's exactly going on in these negotiations. Though we are seeing Iran balking once again at some of the U.S. positions. Congress is looking at really undermining whatever is done and saying that the money won't be there, the sanctions relief won't be there, and trying to tell the Iranians through back channels and publicly, listen, this may not be, don't rely on necessarily what you're agreeing upon with the P5 plus one.
Yeah, that's right. And when it comes to sanctions, Jordan, I mean, I think it's important for people to understand that some of those are enacted through the United Nations. And so the Security Council becomes very important. Actually, where you're talking about the storage of uranium materials, you know, Russia has always thought that those would be stored on Russian territory. Therefore, they were more open to this deal. If that changes, I think you're going to see someone like Russia much more likely to implement their veto power at the Security Council. And therefore, those UN sanctions wouldn't be able to come down. But when you talk about sanctions that are based in the United States, that's when you talk about the Congress getting involved. We saw very strong comments from Senator Corker today talking about how no U.S. sanctions are going to be pulled down unless Congress first gets a chance to review the deal. But I think it's so important for people to understand, Jordan, and you laid it out. We're talking about a framework of a deal. When it comes to Pastor Saeed Abedini, if there is going to be a framework of a deal in place, there has to be a sign of good faith from the Iranian people or from the Iranian regime. One of those signs of good faith has to be that Pastor Saeed Abedini is home before ink is signed on any paper with a deal. Of course, you're just talking about a framework tomorrow, but if there is going to be a sign of good faith from the Iranian regime, one of those has to be that Pastor Saeed Abedini is on U.S. soil.
Folks, we're continuing to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to your phones now. Let's go to Troy calling from Maryland on line one. Troy, welcome to JSecio Live.
I just have a general concern with regard to the trustworthiness of the Iranian government in these negotiations.
Sure.
So my question is, can we avoid the possibility that the Iranian government could use the release of Pastor Abedini as a ruse simply to gain favor and encourage the administration to agree to any deal, whether it's good or bad?
Well, we could have. You know, that was an issue, Troy, unfortunately, that this got way too involved into the deal, where it becomes much more difficult to keep separating the issues. We're very clear. We don't believe, Troy, that Saeed should be a part of the deal. So it should not be, oh, because Saeed's released, we're now going to okay, you know, an agreement, or we're going to budge on an issue like the where would the uranium be shipped. He should not be that into the weeds of this deal. It should have been a confidence-building measure before we sat down at the table with Iran. You say, okay, if we're even going to start these negotiations, you've got to do something to show us that these are going to be good faith, that this is not just to kick the can down the road, delay, get a little sanctions relief, and then come back and I mean, listen, you see what's happening in Yemen right now, which is backed by Iran. It's tough to say that Iran is really feeling a lot of heat around the world. That being said, Troy, here's where things change. We got, you know, past that situation. We started sitting down with the Iranians. The U.S. had not sat down across the table with the Iranians since their Islamic Revolution. So we're talking 1979. So we now have to figure out, using that opportunity to get Saeed released, get the other Americans released, diplomatically, handling it appropriately, not tying them directly to any part of the deal, but at the same time, not giving up the opportunity to push for this when you're sitting across the table with Iranian leaders who are trying to get something positive for their own country. So it's about maximizing and utilizing the opportunities that exist. If we get too far into this, and we're getting close to that, and these discussions collapse, which could happen in 24 hours, folks. I think the administration's trying to push for any deal possible. But let's say that we get past that. Well, we're going to be in a difficult situation for people like Saeed, because do we then go back to the back channel discussions and utilizing other countries? Our government has been so focused on this nuclear deal, and we know this from working with them, that would even take time on its own. So, Than, it's very important in all the discussions we've had. It's not about being part of the deal. It's about, hey, these discussions are happening. They're unprecedented. So you're with the Iranians. Can't use back channels because you're there. You're actually negotiating with them.
Yeah, we're at the table, Jordan. I mean, I thought you said it very well. We were very clear that we didn't think we should have approached the table without Pastor Saeed Abedini being home. But the United States government made a different decision. They decided to sit down at the table. And, Jordan, both on the issue of Saeed and the underlying nuclear issues, one of the determinations that has to be made is, do you have a good faith partner? And I think what you've described about Iran backing away from where the uranium enrichment is going to be stored, I think that is a very strong sign that we don't have a good faith negotiating partner. If Iran wants to demonstrate that they are a good faith partner, there have to be measures that they take to show that. We don't want Pastor Saeed to be a part of a deal, but it is one way that the regime could reach out and say, on these human rights issues, we are willing to work with you. We want to be a good faith partner. It's not part of the deal, but they have to show that they are worth continuing to talk to.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get more into the deal as well. We believe it's an important time for Saeed. If you want to join this petition to the administration saying, don't leave Pastor Saeed behind. This quick deadlines and the discussion, the dialogue is open. As Stan said, call now. You can add your name to the petition at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. That's ACLJ.org. Or call now, 877-989-2255. Be a part of our matching challenge. Double the impact of your donation if you make an online donation at ACLJ.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition. No deals with Iran without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
been laid bare. I can't pretend it's just not real. The time is now. We must be strong and not allow it to prevail.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I want to take more of your phone calls now, specifically on the situation involving Saeed and how that interplays with the nuclear talks. Again, we've been very clear, and I want you all to know that we don't support a deal to get Saeed released, or that we don't believe that Saeed should be part of a deal. But we also know that the dialogue that's happening between the United States and Iran is unprecedented, and that these talks could collapse. This is a key deadline's coming up tomorrow at midnight. So basically, by the time we're on the air tomorrow, we should have some idea if there's any kind of agreement that's going to come out of these talks with Iran, and if they'll progress towards July. Than, I would think, as of right now, if we were having to kind of figure out the percentage here of that being likely, the Obama administration is pushing hard. I can't imagine they would let this collapse over what would be a two-page kind of framework for how we work towards July.
Yeah, I think we'll see something, Jordan. I mean, it's possible that may be even a framework that's maybe not public for another week. Maybe they say they've got something in place, it'll be announced within the next week, and they continue to work towards that June-July deadline overall. But I actually told someone last week at our Oxford Center symposium, Jordan, that I just didn't think there was any way this administration was going to let this pass without getting something that they can claim for a victory. That's why this is such a critical time, because there is going to be a dramatic shift in how the United States deals with Iran, and Pastor Saeed Abedini needs to be home before the totality of that shift ends and we leave the negotiating table altogether.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. Let's go right to the phones. Alan called in from Texas online, too. Alan, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, my question is, you know, they've been working on trying to propose a plan for years and years, and it seems like after Benjamin Netanyahu gets reelected as prime minister, they all of a sudden come up with something. It seems kind of fishy. Is that like going to be a big benchmark for Israel or the Obama administration or Iran? And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Sure. Well, listen, I think this is an extremely complicated situation, and will the world actually accept the deal? Remember, it's not just the U.S. and Iran here. You've got to have the P5 plus one, and to some extent, outside the P5 plus one, you are talking about the rest of the world's support. These are the permanent members of the Security Council. That's what the P5 means, the permanent five out of the 15 members. Those are the ones that have the veto. It's Russia, China, the United States, the U.K., and France. The plus one is Germany, and that's because Germany has become a central role in the European Union, and when it comes to the use of the euro, and of course their economy is important, so they are also part of this because they would have to be as a kind of their standing in the world. They don't have the veto at the Security Council. Can you trust could you predict what would happen? No, I think we're still it's a very difficult time as you get towards July when the Obama administration said there must be a deal in place, that there would have to be, so you'd have to go from this two-page framework to a very comprehensive deal. Can you get there? That's questionable, seriously questionable. Can you keep the dialogue open? I think the Obama administration is going to do everything possible to do that, and Secretary of State John Kerry. So we believe is so important is one on the nuclear issue. We got to discuss it, and we will. And we're going to get to that on the broadcast today. We're trying to take your phone calls as well. And one of the problems with it is that it's a lot of leaked information. It's not necessarily accurate. You see the Iranians kind of say one thing to the media. The U.S. will say another thing about what kind of how things are progressing. If there is something released, that would be the first sign of real indication of where this is going. But again, it's hard to take it two pages, which is what they're talking about, and apply that to what would be a fully comprehensive, very scientific, specific, driven, point by point nuclear framework like this. So what we believe is so important is Saeed's situation being resolved before we get to those points, because that's going to become some very difficult negotiations when things could collapse at a moment's notice, and then the chance for dialogue. And we're providing a lot of relief right now. We believe too much relief without Saeed's release, but there's a lot of relief right now. That could all stop in the next couple of months as well. And if that stops, then do you have the Iranians try to do something as a reaction to that? It could put Saeed's life in that much more jeopardy, and it's already in jeopardy every single day in the prison that he's in Iran. Call now. Add your name to this petition. No deal without Saeed. Folks, here's the number you call. It's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. And remember, we have a matching challenge now. Anything you're able to donate financially to the American Center for Law and Justice is double the impact. You can make a donation online at aclj.org and be part of our matching challenge into the month. Or call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255, if you'd rather make your donation by phone. Back to the calls we go. Chris in New York, line 4. Chris, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. Hi, Chris.
News concerning the situation with Pastor Saeed. I don't think Obama is very effective because they're not taking him seriously because there's no consequences.
Here's a point, though, Chris. At a certain part of these discussions, I get what you're saying, that these negotiations are not being taken seriously by Iran. There's not enough pressure there. They don't think that, and kind of like what I just said, the administration, I think, will do everything possible to get past this deadline, which is tomorrow, and try to keep these discussions and dialogue open. That being said, Than, at a certain point in this process, Iran is going to be seeking either too much relief, and there will be a time when the U.S. will have to decide. Is President Obama going to actually try and push towards providing that kind of relief? Are they making any kind of good faith effort at all? And I think that's a serious question, and would probably I wouldn't buy their position on this because their comments they're making and the statements they're making. But there will be times throughout this process where the U.S. has got to lead. They are taking the lead, and they will have to lead. And there will be a time when it will either collapse, and we'll go back to the days of since 1979 before these negotiations started, or it's going to move forward. And if it moves forward without Saeed, we're going to be in a tough spot because we've given up every concession we can.
There's no question there's a tipping point, Jordan, and there's also no question, I don't think, that we're pretty close to that. I mean, I go back to the last caller and the reference to Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech when he was here, and he said, listen, the framework that's being discussed, and frankly the one that is still in the news today, Jordan, involves one of the sticking points is a 10-year period in which there's a restriction on enrichment. And the Prime Minister said, listen, Iran can get a bomb by violating the deal and avoiding those terms, or they can simply get a bomb by complying with the deal, waiting for a decade, and then pursuing the bomb after that. So you talk about a tipping point. At some point, even the framework of a deal that we're talking about is not worth pursuing. You have to get something in return from the Iranian people that suggests that there is a real move towards backing away from their weapons program. I'm not sure we're going to have that, and I'm also not sure there's much room to go before you just have to walk away.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we have another 30 minutes of the broadcast. You can listen to online at aclj.org. Or on Sirius XM. Call now, 877-989-2255. No deal without Saeed. Saeed needs to be returned home to his wife and his children as we approach Easter. Such an important time to remember the persecuted, to pray for the persecuted. But also, I mean, we're sitting across the table with Iran. We've got to take action. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and add your name to this petition. This is a critical time, and we need your support. On top of that, we have a matching challenge. You know, we're getting towards the end of the month where your donation, the impact of your donation is doubled. So if you can make a financial contribution to the ACLJ, it's a great time to do so at aclj.org. or by phone, calling 877-989-2255. And remember our book, Rise of ISIS. We come back, we'll talk some more about the Assad government and what the comments were out of President Assad last night as well when it comes to ISIS. Go to aclj.org.
Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition. No deals with Iran without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking about through the show today that we're going to get into what is exactly part of this nuclear plan, and I want to do that now. And we'll talk about this. We can take your phone calls about the Saeed matter, but also about the U.S. Relationship with Iran and the pushing for a deal. Now, what we're seeing now, the latest reports this morning, are that Iranian negotiators have made a last-ditch push for more concessions from the U.S. and the P5+1 as talks on Iran's nuclear program come down to this is the final day, really the final 24 hours, tomorrow being the final day. Now, these things get extended all of the time, and we don't have a final deadline till the end of June. Then there's already talks about that being pushed to July. So, again, deadline is with a big asterisk, maybe bigger than the word deadline, because they could push it towards a couple of days. There have already been discussions about that. At first, Iran had supposedly been okay with a promise to ship most of its enriched uranium stockpile to Russia. And that's the uranium that they're concerned about could be used for a nuclear weapons program. Now they are balking at that, saying that, no, they're going to keep this uranium inside their country. And so these are press reports coming directly out of Iran. It would involve, you know, centrifuges, allowing them to keep over 6,000. So the question is this really going to be something that stands in the way or not? It's unclear at this point. We cannot make definitive statements on this because all of this is coming out of these talks. And that's what's why these deadlines do become important, even though they have the big asterisks, because you don't know exactly what framework could be put in place. We should be able to see some of that tomorrow if the deadline is actually met and we get some kind of framework, though they're talking about a couple pages.
Yeah, well, and what's so interesting about the issue that you just brought up, Jordan, is where the objection is coming from. It's coming mainly from Russia. I mean, on some of the other issues, like how long the restrictions are going to last, it's in the 10-year ballpark, or you know, how fast or how automatic are the lifting of sanctions, either from the United Nations or the United States. Most of the negotiation there is really centered around the United States and Iran. But on the issue of storage, the main objection is coming from Russia. If Iran was to back off that promise to ship those uranium products to Russia for storage in the interim period, if they were to back off that, say no, they have to stay in Iran, Russia has said, well, then we're out. We're not going to agree with that framework. We're not going to agree with that deal, and we will reinstitute our veto power at the United Nations. Therefore, it puts sanctions back on the table from the United Nations, because you can't draw down UN-based sanctions unless all of the P5, all of the nations with veto power at the Security Council agree. So the unique thing about what you brought up is it's not the United States standing in the way on that piece. If Iran were to back down, Russia would be the one saying, we're out.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We will get to your calls when we come back from the break, and I encourage you, got a couple lines open. I want to continue this discussion with you. This is President Bashar al-Assad from Syria. He talked to Charlie Rose last night. This was aired on 60 Minutes. Now, I put everything, we're talking a lot about asterisks. I put a big asterisk next to anything Assad says because they're accused of horrendous human rights violations. But he did talk about ISIS growing. So he wasn't trying to make a statement as if his military has been able to stop ISIS. He's actually talking about how much they've expanded since the beginning of U.S. airstrikes back in the fall of 2014. Take a listen, Byte 11.
ISIS has expanded since the beginning of the strikes, not like some American wants to sugarcoat the situation as to say that it's getting better.
ISIS expanding since the airstrikes by the United States. And listen, I mean, if he was trying to sound like a strong man, he'd say, I can fight them back or we'll take them out. And the truth is he's having to acknowledge it, the continued expansion, the continued rise of ISIS. Remember our new book, Rise of ISIS, a number one New York Times bestseller, still available. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, some copies left in the bookstores as well. ISIS not going away. This threat is not going away. And, of course, that plays into also the complications in the nuclear talks because of what's happening in Yemen. We'll explain that when we come back from the break. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. Double the impact of a donation to the ACLJ by making an online donation at aclj.org.
As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition, No Deals with Iran Without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
In Yemen, you have a Shia-backed rebel group, the Houthis, which are, by the way, backed by Iran. They're Shia. They're not like they're similar to Hezbollah, but they are separate and kind of unique to Yemen. This group has pushed out the Yemeni government and the president there, who is a Sunni Muslim. The former president was Shia, and remember, he was pushed out. And so you've had Yemen is a difficult place. I mean, it was Al Qaeda hotspot. So you got Sunni terrorists. It's kind of a failed state at this point. But they're a key role. You know, the shipping routes. They're right there. This has been a place where we've seen terrorism even before the 9/11 attacks, and certainly after Anwar al-Awlaki. This is where he was based, Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQP, and of course they have been linked to those Al-Qaeda magazines, Inspire, which inspired the Boston bombers. So it's a very difficult situation. It becomes even more complicated when you've got a nuclear discussions going on with Iran, and here's why. In Syria, you have Shia-backed rebels, basically Hezbollah, which is an Iranian proxy, fighting against the Assad regime and the Islamic State. So you've got Shia on the side of the Assad regime. Now, Assad himself is an Alawite, so kind of a religious minority, and they're fighting back against ISIS, so a common enemy. But is it one of those situations where it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Not exactly. So you've got there, Syria and Iraq, you have Iranian military and Hezbollah working to fight against the spread and rise of the Islamic State, but to ends that we question seriously, of course. And you know, really do promote more sectarianism, even looking down the road. But then in Yemen, you've got the Sunni governments who may be fighting back against Shia. Where will the United States come down on that? And so far, they may be providing some intelligence, providing some support, but not the military support. But they're using U.S. military equipment, American equipment that we have given to these countries like Saudi Arabia or Jordan and Egypt. And there's a call now in the Sunni world, or basically the Arab League countries, to create a ground force, basically their kind of version of a NATO, to go in and actually fight in Yemen against the Shia rebels. So nothing is just it's the Middle East. It's not just the nuclear talks that complicate things. It's also all of these regional, all these conflicts that are going on in different in the region within each place, where on one side you may favor Shia rebels, on the other side you may favor Sunni rebels, and the U.S. has got to have a very clear policy. Right now, it's not. It's unclear where the U.S. is on all these different points, and of course ties directly into Pastor Saeed, who's approaching 3 years in prison because of his Christian faith, away from his family. You know, in June, this will be 3 years since the family, his children and his wife have seen him, because he left for his trip, his ninth trip in 3 years, back to Iran to work on that orphanage in June. He was arrested in July when he was about to head home, and put under house arrest and ultimately in prison beginning in September. But it's been 3 years for the family come June, and it's already been, well, long enough. So this is a key time for us to demand that the Obama administration get Saeed home before they sign any kind of deal with Iran. And there's a key deadline coming up tomorrow. I want to take your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. And I want you to take a stand by adding your name to our petition to let the administration know that you don't support any kind of deal. And there should be no deal. It's not even if you support it or not, that there should be no deal without Saeed and the other Americans being released from Iran. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. Sherry's been holding on for Montana on line 6. Sherry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you, Jay. I know I'm calling from Montana, but there's more veterans per capita in Montana per war than any other state in the union. And across America, all over, your ACLJ is spreading like wildfire, and people even referring to you like Winston Churchill. And I just wondered if Obama must consider you like a thorn in the flesh, and maybe some of these things he's taking personally because of you?
I think that the Obama administration has not. And thank you for the kind words, Sherry, and for your support. And we thank all of those veterans out in Montana who have served our country and who do serve our country to fight for our and defend our liberty and the freedoms that we have here in the United States, so we can have these conversations on the airwaves and talk to you. The idea is what we ask, is President Obama doing anything? He's made public statements. He has, not just through written statement, but the prayer breakfast. He met with the Abedini family, met with Nagme, met with the children. He's taking those steps. That was the day after the State of the Union. That was this year. So there have been steps even in 2015. But then we do question whether it's the right strategy proposed by this administration. It's not, are they doing anything? Now, early on in this campaign, this was years ago now, we had to do a lot of work to get them engaged on the issue. Now they're pretty engaged on it. It's just, are they making sure they're using every opportunity the right way? And do they have the contingency plans in place if these discussions were to fall apart, for instance, or get too far along before the Iranians have no reason to release Saeed?
Right. Well, the problem here, Jordan, I mean, as far as it relates to Saeed anyway, is it turns out we were right. I mean, it turns out that they really needed to demand the release before we got to this stage, because now the issues are just almost inextricably linked. We are not asking for him to be a part of the deal, but the reality is he remains sitting in prison while the Obama administration sits across from the Iranian regime, so you can't separate it too far. But let me just say this. Let me back off of Saeed for just a moment and say another problem is that this administration seems so desperate for a deal for their legacy's sake that they don't seem to be focused on what is in the deal. It would be fine to get a deal for legacy's sake if it were a good deal for the United States. But Jordan, as we all know, no deal is far better than a bad deal. And we heard this from Senator Corker the other day. If this is a bad deal, it would be far better to step away, take some time, either grant an extension or just, you know, some sort of restart, than to agree to a framework that is going to compromise the United States of America and compromise Israel. Unfortunately, it looks like we're at that place.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, we do have some lines open for you. Let me go to William calling from Georgia on line one. William, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Jay. I got this one statement. My question was changed since I first called, but this is my statement. If there's a deal that's going on between Iran, there should be no deal at all, especially if it deals with anything that gives Iran more leverage over the situation, especially seeing the fact that President Obama was willing to actually make the executive decision to go outside of Congress to release five of the most dangerous Iranian prisoners in exchange for one deserted bird dog.
Well, I think you're talking about the prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, the Al-Qaeda prisoners. So they weren't directly Iranian necessarily. Most of them are linked to the Sunni groups, the Sunni terror groups. But I do think that it shows, we've talked about this at ACLJ.org, bad decision-making, bad prioritizing, and the willingness to go pretty far for someone who is out there violating U.S. law and is now going to be held accountable for that in military court. And then, of course, the different treatment of an American who is being illegally imprisoned and basically being held captive, held hostage by a country that we previously was so bad we had no nuclear, dialogue with, no diplomatic relationship. Now we do because of this push towards a nuclear deal, which we can question. I know many of you question whether or not the U.S. should even be doing that. But guess what? They are. They're sitting at the table. They have been sitting at the table, and they have not been able to secure his release yet. Now, do I hope in every one of these conversations, William, that I wake up and the U.S. has got this done? Well, that's ultimately the goal. So we have to put the pressure where we believe the pressure needs to be put. That doesn't mean, however, the U.S. government has done nothing or the administration has done nothing. It's just making sure it's a reminder in their mind that is all of these various people. You're talking about giant government agencies here, Than. When we're talking about State Department, we're talking about the Obama team handling these situations. There's a lot of people, though on the nuclear issue, it gets much smaller. And that's why it's important that we're not just talking to some representatives, you know, White House political or policy people who are dealing with, you know, the kind of, I'd say, how the optics of this look, but also the people who are there in these negotiations.
Jordan, there are both a lot of people involved in these negotiations and a whole lot of issues on the table. Our job at the ACLJ, the job of the people listening to us, is to make sure that as many of those people as possible, all of them if possible, in every opportunity to remember that Saeed is there, so that all of the conversations on any of these issues that are taking place are conducted with that in the back of our mind. They have one of our guys there, and he should be home before anything closes on this.
Folks, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, our brand new petition, Don't Leave American Pastor Saeed Behind. You can sign that petition at ACLJ.org or by calling 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We have a matching challenge right now. And this, as the end of the month, or anything you donate to the ACLJ, you double the impact of your financial contribution. You can make a donation online at ACLJ.org or by calling our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. As negotiations intensify to reach a deal over Iran's nuclear capabilities, the focus is once again on Iran. While the Obama administration has repeatedly spoke out on behalf of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, now is the time for his release. Now more than ever, it's critical that as nuclear negotiations with Iran continue to move forward, the U.S. must not make a final deal with Iran until Pastor Saeed is released. Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition. No deals with Iran without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. or add your name online, aclj.org.
Second Live, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Robert next. But I do want to play, as we were talking in the last segment, about the complications of the U.S. current strategy right now. That in some countries, we're on the side of Sunni fighters, or maybe on the side of a Sunni government. That would be Yemen. And it's unclear yet. There's a lot of our allies, though, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. They're certainly putting together a coalition. They're already engaged in air campaigns against the Shia Houthi rebels, in Yemen. And they are Shia-backed, they're Iranian-backed rebels fighting a Sunni government there. They're now engaged in an air campaign. They are talking at the Arab League about a ground campaign as well. Now, it's not necessarily that the U.S. will have a specific role in that, but all of the weapons, all of the training, all of the planes that are flying, those are U.S. Provided and actually U.S. made. Weapons and military aircraft and support. So, again, it's even if the U.S. doesn't play a direct role in that, which has been this leading from behind question and strategy, then you go to Iraq and Syria, and it's the opposite. We're fighting Sunni terror group like ISIS, the Islamic State, or Al-Qaeda, and the al-Nusra Front, and they're fighting against Shia rebels. So the coin flips there a bit as well. So take a listen. This is Lieutenant General Flynn talking about the difficulty here with the Obama administration policy to Chris Wallace, Byte 7.
It seems to be a patchwork of alliances where in some countries we're on the side of Saudi Arabia and the Sunnis. In other countries like Iraq, we're on the side of the Shia and Iran. Can that work?
So let me just start by saying, as an intelligence officer, intelligence has to be part of the calculus of every strategic level decision. And right now, my sense of where the policy is at is sort of, and I hate to say it like this, but it's almost a policy of willful ignorance.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to, but think about that, the policy of willful ignorance. So the administration, you know, you could call it leading from behind. You could say it's not engaging or not taking sides when you have to. Or as Lieutenant General Flynn said there, the idea that we're willfully being ignorant about the complications that were not only arising, but that we may be fueling in these countries. We'll go back to the phones now. Robert in New Jersey online too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. Thank you, Jay, for your work in protecting and preserving true democracy and humanity. Thank you. My question is, what happens if the fanatical Islamic regime in Iran gets the bomb? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for your call. Listen, that is down the road. So, you know, it's I think most of the estimates, even those who are most opposed to the potential of this ideal, have it at 10 years. And so we're looking down the road. But so if at a point where they'd actually get there, they could not only weaponize uranium, but would have a delivery system for that uranium. Now, that is if they did it all on their own through their current nuclear program. What if they could they try and acquire this financially, you know, buying this from a country like North Korea, which has not had great success in their delivery mechanism. The tests that they run are pretty disastrous. At the same time, it gives them a level of threat that as much as you can kind of shrug off some of their aggressions, and it's really, you know, this horrendous regime, the truth is, yeah, they are more threatening because of their nuclear weapons program, even if their nuclear weapons program isn't very good. And then there's the question of, will you see a nuclear arms race in the Middle East where Iran may be a decade away from being able to put this together on their own, but Saudi Arabia can just go purchase it? And they're going to say, listen, we already have, you know, nuclear programs or nuclear energy programs, but we now need this weapon to be secure as well. Of course, you have to put in there also the situation with Israel. Would Israel let Iran get that far without taking action, potentially unilateral if they had to protect the people of Israel and the Jewish state from a nuclear Iran, an Iran that was on the path towards a nuclear weapon? I don't think so. The question will be for the world is, if you get too far down this line, is at what point is the red line? Where is the line in the sand? And that is difficult necessarily to decide right now, but that very well may be something that the next U.S. president has to figure out, and that is Israel will have to figure out, because we know they're not there yet, but this could be empowering them to get there even quicker.
Well, the frightening thing you hear, Jordan, is, I mean, listen how hostile the Iranian regime talks now without a bomb.
Yeah.
How much worse would it be if they had it in their capacity, had the ability to use it? How much more aggressive would their talk be? And, you know, they may or may not be the instigator, but if you are the nation of Israel and you are threatened by a regime that is acquiring a nuclear bomb, you don't have the luxury of waiting to find out what they would do with it. You have to believe a madman that is pursuing a bomb that says he will use it to destroy you. You have no option but to believe that. And just back to the caller a couple of seconds ago talking about the policy of willful ignorance. That's exactly what it is. I mean, this administration has essentially said that. Listen, we are going to choose to set aside the differences that we have to some of these nations, some of these regimes, some of these entities that say they hate us and they want to wipe us off the map. We are going to choose to set that aside because if we believe that we pursue this policy of appeasement, that will voluntarily change. It's the opposite of peace through strength. It is indeed willful ignorance.
Where are we on the talks? I want you to take a listen to Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary. He was talking to George Stephanopoulos, ABC News, this weekend, just yesterday, about what happens if we get to this deadline that's tomorrow, and if we get past that deadline, do the talks get extended? Where does the administration see it? And this was a key insight into why these deadlines come with a big asterisk, why we have to continue fighting for people like Pastor Saeed to make sure they get home, because these talks could be unending, at least through the Obama administration, bite two.
This is going to require Iran to make some pretty significant commitments, and we've been negotiating about this for more than a year. But ultimately, the president believes that we should be able to reach an agreement by the end of March if one is doable.
And if not, no extension?
Well, George, we've been negotiating for more than a year, and ultimately, it's time for the Iranians to send a clear signal to the international community about whether or not they are willing to make the serious commitments required and basically live up to their rhetoric that they're not trying to acquire a nuclear weapon. So if they can make those commitments, they should be able to do that by the end of March.
Again, so there's what you say. We've been negotiating for more than a year. Ultimately, it's time for Iranians to send a clear signal about whether they're willing to make serious commitments required and live up to rhetoric that they're not trying to acquire nuclear weapons. So if they can make those commitments, they should be able to do that by the end of March. What does that mean exactly? That could take so many different steps. I mean, it could be basically the P5 plus one, because they're already saying they're not going to have his signatures on this framework that would be announced tomorrow. Just saying, we believe Iran has gotten to this point, so we're going to continue the talks. And Than, that's what I get from Josh Earnest, is that you may see a unilateral action by these countries that are negotiating with Iran to say, we think we've gotten to a point where we can continue, because there's not going to be any signed agreements here.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, the last 48 hours have actually shown the reverse, Jordan. They've showed Iran backing off their previous agreement to move those uranium facilities to Russia. There obviously haven't been the release of prisoners that we're talking about separate from the deal. So the signs that we're seeing now, unfortunately, go in the wrong direction. That could change, but I think we have to understand that if there is an agreement tomorrow, or if there is an agreement within the next week, it is a framework that we still have to follow closely as we move towards June or July, when the details will fall into place.
Right. I mean, this is, again, folks, I think that under our understanding, these nuclear talks are not going to collapse in the next 24 hours. Could they? Yes, it's potential, but it seems unlikely that the U.S. government is going to do that. This is a real test for the Obama administration right now. Iran is seeing, how far can we push back? How far can we say yes to you, then go back and say no without you kind of throwing down the gauntlet? And the question will be is, does that happen now, or are we letting Iran push us around? I think, unfortunately, it looks like we're letting Iran push us and the most powerful countries in the world around when it comes to this issue. We've got to take a stand. We need to get Saeed Abedini and those Americans home and out of Iran and back to their families. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to ACLJ.org.
Join the more than 200,000 people who have taken a stand on this issue. Add your name to our petition. No deals with Iran without Pastor Saeed. President Obama has promised to leave no American behind. He must keep his promise. He must bring Pastor Saeed home. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.